Now we've got many different microphones, and sometimes we get one, sometimes we get the other going, and I don't really want to have to get through the whole special if I was the wrong microphone was recording. I, you know. All right, no, I'm wearing my tank top today. It's this is what I wore when I went out walking this morning in Taiwan. I've been watching these election results. I'm tired. Sorry about not getting one of these up yesterday, but too much election results stuff. You know, the most important thing about this election, I was right. That was the most. No. George, you've been really good with not interrupting over the last bit, but no. It's very important that I'm right, because that's one of the reasons I do this. I'm supposed to help people know what's coming. I study news. I write about stuff. I live in Asia. I write about American politics, and I'm right about them. And I get what's coming. I predicted Trump's election. I understand what's going on in Asia. I get this stuff. I'm not just some dweeb with an opinion. You know, I've been going over recently the Federalist Papers. Now, Hamilton is a snore. It's like he writes the same paper again and again. And okay, Scotus Justice Scalia was reported to have once said, have you read the Federalist Papers? He was talking to a group of law students. He said, have you read the Federalist Papers? And they all raise their hand. Yeah, we have. And he said, no, I don't just mean five of them. I mean all of them, because that's important. And he wanted law students to have read all of the Federalist Papers. Well, I'm not a law student. I'm interested in government and law, but I don't know that I'm interested in reading Hamilton. Hamilton wrote a bunch of BS papers. And after listening to two audio hours of Hamilton BS, Hamilton was one of the Federalists. You need to go back and look at this. Hamilton, I think he was born in Cuba. He was not allowed to be president. He didn't qualify. Washington would have wanted him to be. He's a classic successor type. One of these idiot, incompetent successor types. The founder likes him, but then he follows and does a bad job. We got that going with Apple and Tim Cook, kind of, maybe. Maybe. Okay, you know, arguably. Altogether, I think Apple's doing a pretty okay job. But, you know, Tim Cook has some pretty big shoes to fill. You know, that's hard. So in some ways, it's kind of not fair. I think that Tim Cook could have done much better when he was up against Comey. Apple was so in the right, and Tim Cook didn't say all the reasons why. And I'm sad for it. I hope that Tim can do better. Well, okay, Apple, the Apple things. Well, I'm over here in Asia, and I'm over here where they make the iPhones. I mean, I've got friends just up the street that are thinking about moving to Wisconsin to work at Foxconn. So, when Jobs died, the local big wig university, kind of, you could say, kind of the U of M. You know, U of M is pretty big in the States. It's one of the best schools. It's probably among the very best schools as far as great schools that are under-recognized. U of M is up there with Harvard and Yale, but it doesn't get the limelight as much. But it is one of the really, really good ones. And there's such a school here in Tainan, where I am in Taiwan. And after Steve Jobs died, everyone was talking about his speech at Stanford. You know, dropping out of school was the best choice he ever made. Getting fired was the best thing that ever happened to me. He's saying these things. And the I don't know if he was the CEO, chairman of Foxconn, but he was one of those. It had a C in the title, I do believe. He told these graduating students at this university, don't listen to Steve Jobs. I wanted to be an artist, or I wanted to be a writer, I think it was, so, something with arts. And my father said, no, go study business. So I studied business, and now I'm the CEO at Foxconn. This is the guy whose company exists as it is because of Steve Jobs, and he's saying don't listen to him. You know, that really gets into something. I think I'm going to get into that in the next episode, but I'll tell you what it is now. How Democrats, it's not Democrats, liberals. We're not talking about party lines. We're talking about ideologies. There's a difference. I was in Chicago, and one of the BMW salesmen. Yeah, I worked at a BMW dealership in Chicago. And one of the salesmen was explaining to me, she said, you're in Chicago. Democrats in Chicago are conservative Democrats. They're not liberals. They're different. Liberals don't get that money doesn't grow on trees. Security doesn't just happen. Safety and freedom don't just flow like a river that's always there in every season. They don't, it doesn't happen. These things are created by very, very hardworking people whose hard work is never seen in the public eye. You have to be part of their hard work in order to make it. And Democrats don't get that. And that's what the CEO of Foxconn was saying to this audience. I do believe he was CEO. I could be mistaken that he was chairman, but I believe he was CEO. And he was saying to these students, don't listen to the man whose wisdom allowed my company to exist in the first place. Because I listened to my father who said, do what I'm no good at that I'm not interested. Well, not what I'm no good at. Do what I don't want to do. Do what I'm not passionate about so that Steve Jobs can make me a lot of money. Don't listen to Steve Jobs. That makes no sense, but it does make sense to liberals. And that was going on in this election. And that happened in Wisconsin. All right. We've got this election that we're just coming off of. Now, I'm over here in Asia and I'm going through the data and I'm watching what's happening. And I'm going, all right, what's coming in 2024? That's the big question. I really think we could be looking at Republican supermajority. Now, this election, I mean, this is the thing. It's kind of no one really gets bragging rights on this. If you get into the nitty gritty of this election, it is a strong victory for Republicans, but you can't just go out and say, yeah, we whomped them. We took the House. We took the Senate. We took everything. We took lunch. We took everything. You can't say that. But, I mean, Republicans lost, what was it, 7 governorships? But they still have the majority of the governorships in the country. And what was it? The big ones were Kansas, I believe. We're talking Nevada, New Mexico. But those, why were they Republican in the first place? And we got Kansas. Okay, that's a borderline. And then we had Michigan, no surprise there. We had, I mean, they do Republican, Democrat, that's how Michigan goes. And Snyder in Michigan, he really, really overreached. They had like a two-thirds majority in one of the chambers in Michigan's legislature. They got two houses. I believe it was the Senate. They had like a two-thirds majority, but you've got to have a 70% majority in order to implement laws right away. And they were implementing laws right away without a 70% majority, but with only a two-thirds majority or something like that. It was a power grab, and they were shutting down city governments that were in severe debt, like it was a terrible mess. And they were shutting down these governments, assigning managers to them. And Snyder should have let them remain in disarray. Those are those areas and those demographics are the people that vote heavily Democrat. So Snyder overreached. He did too many good things. I mean, you can only do good things to the extent that the people want you to do them. So this election is going to give Democrats, I mean, it gave Republicans a strong advantage. Senate is the long game. And we've got two really, really old, decrepit Democrat judges. Mean, angry people. One of them was Scalia's friend, the Ginsburg. She used to go, I don't know if you know this, Ginsburg used to go to opera with Scalia. Like, they would always vote against each other, you know, whenever the court was split. But they would go to opera together, Ginsburg and Scalia, because they liked opera. And they wouldn't argue. I mean, when the justices vote, they don't argue. They just sit down and they just, okay, so who's going to write this one? They already know who's going to vote on what. Except for Kennedy. He was the flip-flop. He made it interesting. We've got a boring Supreme Court now. All the decisions have already been cast. There's no, what's Kennedy going to do? What's Kennedy? There's none of that. That's gone now. So SCOTUS news is going to be outright boring. I'm going to miss the guy. The conservative agenda won't miss him, but I'm going to miss him. But we've got these two old decrepit judges. We're talking, one of them's over 80, one of them's under 80. Ginsburg, and then there was this other guy, this dweeb. Yeah, he was he was from the Ginsburg era. He's one of the old Democrat judges, I believe, from Clinton. And Scalia died, and this is how he handled it at the court. I think we're going to have we should have a minute of silence, or maybe a moment, or just a brief pause. And he's trying not to smile, like he's cracking a smile. Pause in memory of Scalia. Okay, and then that was a moment. I mean, it was the most irreverent way. It was almost comedy. It was like one of those TV shows where they have like a fake moment of silence for somebody when the guy calling the moment of silence is happy that he's dead. He was doing that. We're talking SNL disrespect type stuff going on. That guy and Ginsburg, Scalia's opera friend, are both getting old, and we could be looking at some open seats. Senate is the long game. Now, where Trump had some Republicans that didn't want him to campaign with them, they lost. The places where Trump went and campaigned, he said it was out of 11, nine of the senators won. Trump proved to help on the campaign. But you know, this is the other thing. It began. It's very important that I'm right about this stuff. And I don't mean that to be braggadocious, but you need to know that you can understand what's going to happen by listening to me. I know what's going on. I get this stuff. Now, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to elaborate on, I think I'll come back to Hamilton in the next episode, because I'm going to record that right now. But what was I going to say? You know what? I'm just going to call it for today, because I'm tired and I need water and I can't think. So we're going to call that for the podcast today. I'm going to come back for the Taiwan special tomorrow.